Blog Talk Radio.
It's made, and we will rejoice and be glad it is. You're tuned to Time to Talk About It with your host, Pastor Gita Pacheva Porter, coming to you from the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida, and states, cities thereby. Praise God. Neighboring cities. Yes, 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 we're here today. Beautiful day today. It promised to be a hot one. Yes, it does. And we trust that you're well prepared for the heat. Make sure your head is covered, all right, and your arms are covered. We don't want you to get sick. Okay, because we love you. We really do. We appreciate you, you and you that are listening, those that are near and those far. We thank God for you today. And those that listen, especially those on a constant basis, they always listen to us every time. We want to send you some special love and smooch, 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 we send to you too, because we love you. And of course, we are praying for you constantly. And I hope and pray that you're praying for me too. Yes, 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 we need your prayer. Continue to pray for us also, okay? And we thank God for you today. We thank God for those that are with us today also, Deacon Mike and Sister Diane, we thank God for them today. Oh, my God. There is so many people that needs prayer today. Yes. Let me see. I don't see your name. Huh? Did you call? 347-857-3925. 347-857-3925. Call us and give us your name, who you want us to pray for. Okay? All right, I'm waiting for your call. Yes, it's very important. All right, let us go into our prayer list now. We're praying for Pamela. And Pamela had surgery 2 weeks, I believe it is. But she's having trouble, some type of trouble she's having. And Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, you know all about her. You know what she needed this hour. Touch Pamela right now in the mighty name of Jesus, and we give you the praise. Lord, we're asking that you touch Allison Crawford, who has brain cancer. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we ask you to touch Allison right now, Lord. Make her ever with whole. Dry that cancer up from its root in the name of Jesus and send it into outer darkness right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for healing Allison right now. Praise God. Lord, we ask you to touch Cheryl White, also, who has kidney failure, is on dialysis at this time, just started. Father God, in Jesus' name, we ask you to touch her. Lord, touch all dialysis patients right now, those that we know at this hour. Touch them, Lord. Deliver them from it right now. Father, we ask you to touch Chrissy, who has cancer on her face, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, you know she's very troubled up concerning that. Father, have mercy right now, Lord. Let your mercy find her right there and now. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, dry it up from the root in Jesus' name, and we count it done. Yes, we do. Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name, touch Dante, who mother passed. Lord, mother passed, and we're so near Mother's Day. Father, in the name of Jesus, comfort his heart right now. Comfort him right now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to touch Mr. Benjamin, who has a court case coming up. And I don't know all the ins and outs of the court case, but I ask you that you touch him right now in Jesus' name, Lord. Oh, Lord God, Lord, do what he needs you to do in this court case, God, and let him be the victor. And as he be the victor, let him begin to praise God and find somebody church to get into. And we thank you for it today, God. Lord, we ask you to touch Norma right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, touch her, Lord God. She needs prayer right now, Father, for a few incidents that are occurring in her life. In Jesus' name, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you, God. Touch Tyreek Sins, Lord. Touch him right now, Lord, for he wants the directions of what school to go to, I believe it is. Lord, touch him in the mighty name of Jesus, God. He needs your help right now. Strengthen him to make the right decision in Jesus' mighty name. Touch his grandfather, God, who has surgery on his hip. Touch him right now, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and glory for all that you are doing in his life. He's a young man right now, Father God, that love you. God, have mercy on him right now. And Father, we ask you to touch all those, Lord, that you know that sick, you know, and the pastors that are going through troubled on every hand, and some are sick, God, they're deathly ill, they need you. Right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, have mercy on those pastors right now who, you know, congregation is giving them problems. Lord, touch them right now, God. Show them the way out of whatever they're in at this time, God. Oh, God, and that one that's nearest giving up, God, we ask you to touch him right now. In the mighty name of him or her right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, touch our school kids right now, God. Oh, Lord, we don't know all what they are going through at this time. But, Father God, we know that, oh, so many troubled kids out there now. They're acting out of their troubles and misery that they're in. Father God, have mercy on us. Save them right now. Save them, Lord. Save, Lord, just a mass of these young people, Father God, the future church, Lord, the ones that are coming up after us, Father God. Have mercy on them today, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, Lord, I give you all the praise and honor for it right now. Have mercy on America, God. We are in great trouble, Lord God. Have mercy right now, Holy Father, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. We need your help, Lord. I know men's heart have turned away from God, and some say they got him, but their actions prove otherwise. And it's not going according to the word of God. You know, Father God, we are all mixed up. We have a troubled world right about now. The people in it is troubled. They are mixed up. Confused. It's a confused spirit running to and fro. Father, in the name of Jesus, they don't know what they want, Lord. Oh, God, have mercy. We need mercy up in here, God. Lord God, even the church world is confused. Also, they don't know who they are, Father God. Lord, they need help right now. And Father, I want to make a special prayer today for Bishop Timothy Sheffield. I want to make a special prayer for him today, God, that you touch him, God. He needs your help, Lord. He needs a miracle. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we send forth the word of God to him right now, that he rise and be healed. In the mighty name of Jesus, let the blood saturate him from his head to his toe. Right now, God Almighty, in Jesus' mighty name. And we counting it done right now. Oh, God, we thank you for it, God. Lord, we thank you for it. And you know, Lord, everyone, a lot of people have been, we've been hearing a lot of people, things have happening to their brain. They're having strokes in the brain and cancer in the brain. And all these things are happening at this time. We don't know why they are happening, Father. All we know is we got to pray for them, God, because so much is going to, it could be us, God. So we can pray for somebody else in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Oh, Lord God, right now, go out through the land, God. Those that you call, Father, touch them right now in Jesus' name. Lord, they're going through. The enemy has come in like a flood against your people, your ones that you call. Lord, they need help right now in Jesus' mighty name. Help them right now, Father. Oh, God, reach out and touch them in this hour, Lord, and I thank you for it. I'm thanking you, God Almighty. Oh, God, I'm thanking you because I would want someone to pray for me, too. Yes, I would, Father. I thank you for it. And I'm not going to talk bad about them because they're praying for me. I need their help. If you know how to get a word of prayer through, I'm listening. I'm listening. Yes, yes, I am listening. I was listening to a woman on the Facebook praying this morning. She was praying the prayer this morning, a prayer for the morning, you know, dawn of the morning. She praying. That ain't what she called it, but praise the Lord. I mean, I would listen to the whole prayer. You know, it wasn't short, but I listened to the whole prayer. You see what I'm saying? Amen, because it's needed. It's needed. God is calling his soldiers out of, you done retired. Now he calling you out of retirement now to come and let's walk, because he needs some true warriors, some real warriors, some warriors that don't think about themselves, don't feel like, well, I want to have fun. You can have fun in prayer, seeing people released, seeing people delivered, seeing people healed and getting to know the Lord. You can have good fun like that. I love to see lives change. You should want to see people's lives change. Don't matter what color they are. You know, the thing is, we too busy about how old he is, what color he is, what church they go to. We got all kind of isms and schisms going on to keep from doing what God called you to do. That's all it is. The devil has presented you with a distraction. See what I'm saying? It can go in with my message anyway. But praise God, when you see so much of it, and then we present a lie to cover up the fact that we are like that. You understand? We don't want nobody to know we like that. But it's going to show, no matter what you are, it's going to show. Somewhere it's going to show. You know why? Because you can't keep it hid. Hallelujah. You can't keep it hid. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Sister Diane. Hallelujah. I was getting excited there, wasn't I? Praise God. Praise God. Now, let me read you a little word today. thoughts should be tested before they are transmitted. If our thoughts taste unkind, critical, or unfair, we should refuse to release them into the dangerous world of words. Amen. Should we tell you that again? Thoughts should be tested before they are transmitted. If our thoughts taste unkind, critical, or unfair, we should refuse to release them into the dangerous world of words. Now, you heard that before, but I thought it was worth repeating. I thought it was worth repeating. Hallelujah. You know, what are you thinking about today? How are you thinking where you are? Are you thinking about the cares of the world, what's going on in your part of the world? Are you thinking about that? Are you, you know, worrying over it and you concerned about it, you know? Is that what's going on? Well, let me tell you, there's lots of people going through the same thing. One thing about trouble, it's going to come. Don't care what color you are, what part of the world you live in, or what street you on, whether you're in a mansion or you're in a little 2x4 box. He's going to send trouble by your way. Hmm? Every time trouble will come. Do you get it here? Now, we want a life without trouble. We want a life that's smooth as silk. That's what we want. But I'm sorry to tell you, you're not getting a life like that. Hmm? So you might as well buckle down and do what God tells you to do. Because now, don't, and I'm not going to tell you, you get in God, you ain't going to have no more trouble. Because that's a lie from the pit. Huh? Because what? How are you going to get to him? Through trials and tribulations. Through storms in your life, because he wants to show you that he can bring you through and out of anything that you're in. But if you don't trust him, he can't do it. Huh? See, we were teaching about the principle that God give us, forgiving and forgetting. You can't get nothing because you don't want to give nothing. You always look at what you got. Well, I don't have nothing. Well, let me tell you this. If you got $2, you can give God what? Give him a dollar. You can give him a dollar up and you still got a dollar left. Huh? To do whatever you was going to do with the two. So he'll stretch that one you have like you have way more than even the two. See, but we don't trust him. Today we talk a good talk, but we just don't trust God. Hmm? And you look at people, and when they get money, they forget God. Hmm? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed yourself? Hmm? Because we all go through this sometime or another. It's, the money comes so far in between. So when we do get it, we have so much we need to do or pay or somebody. We don't think about the church or God. We don't even think about that. Now, come on, be real. Now, you know you don't think about that. All you think about, I'm going to pay this bill here this time. And then I'm going to buy me a pair of shoes because I ain't had a new pair of shoes in about 2 years. And, I mean, this is the way it goes. Now, that's real talk. That's the way we do. See? So, don't think you're exempt from it. You're not exempt. I'm just bringing to your front of how to be blessed and how to receive the blessings of God and favor of God. See? That's what you need to learn how to do. I don't mind sharing myself, you know. I know. I share, you know. I tell you. You know why? Because I want everybody to be blessed. Because if you get blessed, you may bless me too. Amen. See, I will put no pressure on you to bless me now. I'm not putting no pressure on you for you to go somewhere and you do this for me. You ain't got to do nothing for me. Long as you happy, good for you. Somebody else can come along and bless me. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't necessarily have to be you, okay? You see what I'm saying? But I'm trying to get you to come to the point where you can be blessed and highly favored of God. I know we love to say that. How you doing? I'm highly blessed and highly favored, and you ain't got two pennies to rub together. Hmm? And highly favored. When you highly favored, God gonna keep you with something in your pocket. Huh? It may not always be for how much you want to be, but something will be in your pocket. Because you are highly favored and God does not leave his people penniless. He blesses his people. Yes, he do. Because they trust him. Do you see what I'm saying? They trust him. All right, let me talk about. You know what? I tell you, I had a wonderful dose of. I had a wonderful dose of unity. This past week, I had a wonderful dose of unity. What? And I've been talking about it, preaching about it, for years. years and years and years I've been talking about unity, trying my best, going from church to church, trying to get people to come together, pastors to come together. Let's get our churches together. You don't have to come over and join mine. I don't have to join yours, but we can do something together to show the world that the church world is together, united front. Because united we stand and divided we gonna fall. Now, you can bank on that. But God want us together. Now, I'm just going to tell you a few words. I got a whole lot about that because I've been dealing with this for so long. You know, so long. Now, let's go to first. I'm going to start with the 133rd Psalms. 133rd Psalms. I wasn't going to start there, but I just changed my mind. And he starts off with what? Behold. 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 Listen at that now. Behold. How good. You ought to say how good. Ooh, how good it is. How good, how pleasant, and how pleasant. Now, you want to feel something good? You want to see some pleasant stuff? Huh? This is what he wants you to do. Huh? It is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Well, can we say that again? Behold, look here, look, listen. I want you to get your full attention. He's getting your full attention now. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. See, he wants you to dwell in what? Unity. And now let's read about how he describes what the pleasantry is going to be and how you're going to enjoy the unity when you get together. It reads as thus, the second verse. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. Now, when you dwell together, you ever seen dew over the earth early in the morning? I think that's a beautiful sight, huh? Just to see the dew resting over everything, all the grass, the flowers, the trees, just dew, just all over there. Now, he say, being together is precious. Precious, do you hear me? Now, see, the oil ran down Aaron's beard. He's describing that. Now, it ran from his beard. Where's his beard at? His head, ain't it? And it ran all the way down. It covered what? His entire body, didn't it? Just like the dew does mornings when the dew falls. The morning dew is falling, covering the earth. Can you see the goodness of God just covering the earth with that dew? Just imagine that. And he said, for there, when he see the mountains covered also, all of this is covered with dew, he said, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. God commanded his blessings to be where? Upon you. It starts at the beard, didn't it? So in other words, it starts at your head, and it covers your body. Do you hear what I'm saying? It goes all the way down. The blessing overtakes you. See, the blessings of the Lord will overtake you. But you can't experience that until somebody get it together. Why? People ask, well, why the church is this way? Why the church? Well, everybody didn't get together yet. They haven't unified themselves in order to command the blessings to come full force in the midst. Do you get the picture? Come on now, do you get the picture? See, this is just the problem with the people because they haven't learned the secret of the success that they can have in their life, in their Christian walk in Christ. We think about all our blessing and all it is money, money, money. Yes, he say money. The Bible also say there here in this book, Proverbs, I believe, money is a necessary thing. See? It's necessary. We know it's necessary. God knew it was necessary. You needed to pay your bills. You needed to pay this, that, or the other. But in all of that, he commands you to do what? First, give him what's his, 10%. Now, if you don't give nothing else, you ought to give that 10%. It don't matter if you ain't got but a dollar. Give God his 10%. Huh? See, the thing is, well, I'm going to wait till I get some more money. You ain't going to never get no more. Because you waiting for some more money, it ain't coming because you ain't giving me 10% the first of what you got. You haven't learned to follow instructions yet. You see what I'm saying? So when you follow those instructions, you will see you'll begin to unite with the word. We want you to unite with the word of God. Become one with the word of God. Do you hear what I'm saying now? This is what Christ is looking for. And the key to what you want and what you need from God is unity. See? You don't want to go to church. Well, all the church people doing is talking about money. Well, how you think they're going to pay for the building you in? Now, you want to go to church and there ain't no lights? You going to start talking about them? I'm getting out of here because they ain't no church. They ain't even got no lights. Well, you ain't paid your tithes to help pay for the lights. Hello? But you want to see preachers get in great trouble. People, period, gets in great trouble trying to be like the Joneses. You want to take all your money and you want to build a fancy, big, fancy church. And you ain't teaching the people how to be givers and tithers because they come there long as you got the money building it.
Come on now.
But they don't want you to give you none of their money to help build it. But they want to be there and then they want to take a high seat. That's not unity. You're not supposed to go over the pastor. You can't go over the pastor. You can't do that. But it seems like we got a trend going. Everybody want to, they come into church, supposed to be joining church, being a servant, a member of that body of believers, and they go in and try to take over. You seen them? That's not the book. The book didn't tell you to come in and take over. He said, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. That's what he told you to do. And you got to be a disciple of Christ. That leader is doing what? Preparing you to be a disciple of Christ. See, it takes both of you as a team to work this thing. But we haven't learned teamwork. You ever notice, I'm from the era where the doo-wop singers was. And the groups, boy, God, they could sing. All of them, they sang. All they could sing together. You hear what I'm saying? Together. Till somebody's head gets swell up. Somebody go tell them, well, you know, your voice is so nice, you ought to be solo. That they start, what it ain't nothing but the devil, start division. Now, you've been making mucho grande money, more money than you ever had in your life, and then you let somebody come along and tell you, well, you should just go solo. You don't need that group. So you jump out, break up the team, and you gone, and you fall on your face. Huh? You see, the same difference is going on today in churches. Now, people are going from one church to another because they want to be somebody. They want to be the leader. Well, God didn't call you to be the leader of that body of believers. If he called you to be a believer, go find your own flock. See, get your own flock. Outside, outdoors, there's plenty of flock running around, loose. Need to hear the word. Why can't you carry your word to them? Huh? It don't matter how many. It ain't but five. You want to make a church soon as you get saved. How you going to do that? You don't know A from a bullfrog. How you going to know? How you going to do that? You just got saved. Now you want to have a mega church. You don't make sense. Huh? You ain't unite yourself with nobody. You ain't trying to get nobody into the ministry, to save the nothing. All you trying to do is get you a building, get some people come in, think you're going to get enough money to buy you an airplane. You don't need no airplane. Go to the airport and buy a ticket. We do crazy things. But we don't want to do it together. And I was reading scripture this morning, and I was going through it. I'm going to read you some scripture today. You know, if I don't read nothing else to you, praise God. If you don't hear nothing else, I'm going to read you some scripture. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, I'm going to start in there. I'm not going to start on the whole chapter because it's very good about this one. Together. See, together. 1 Corinthians, 12th chapter. And I'm going to start at the 12th verse. For as the body is one and had many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, the example when we read 133rd Psalm, the oil ran down from his beard all the way down to the hem of his garment, didn't it? That anointing, Christ, huh? This is, he's the head, and we're the body. We are members of that one head, huh? This is what we're going to read on, let you hear more. I want you to hear this. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Ain't no many spirits, ain't no whole lot of spirits. It ain't but one Spirit. God is a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. One God, one faith, one baptism. That's it. Huh? And we are members of that body. We are the believers. And then he say, if the foot, now let me show you how he explains it, how Paul explains it now. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Now, you think your foot going to tell you that? Huh? How you going to separate the two, your foot from the hand? Huh? Huh? See? Is it therefore not of the body? It's all what? Attached together. To make what? One. Huh? To make what? One. All right. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Now, what would you look like if it was? Here you go. Is it therefore not of the body? See, he breaking it down. Paul was breaking it down to you to let you know what the body is, what the body of Christ is. You know, everybody want to be separate. Everybody want to be something else they are not. You know, you're supposed to be what? The ear, and you trying to be the eye. Huh? Do you see what I'm trying to take? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Can you answer that? Do you see? If the whole were the were hearing, where were the smelling? Where would your nose be? See? Now, if everybody in the church is the leader, the head, the pastor, where are the members? Huh? Where's the members? Where's the fivefold ministry? If everybody the leader, the head. It's bad enough you got some leaders, they want to be big shots. They want to have all nine gifts of the Spirit. Huh? When it's supposed to be what? In the body of Christ. Each gift has its place in the body of Christ. Do you get the picture? Huh? And then because it's in there, it's functioning together as one. Do you get the picture? Y'all will get it after a while. Mm-hmm. He said, but now have God set the members, every one of them in the body as it had pleased him. Do you get the picture? You can't tell God what to do. Huh? You can ask him, God, is this your will for me? Huh? He's not going to give you the will to go in somebody else's church, somebody else's pastor. He done called his pastor there, and you come in there and take over. God ain't going to call you to do that, so stop trying to do it because you're out of order. Okay? You're out of order. But now are they many members, yet but one body. Huh? Many members. We have many members. We have, you look at your hand, you got all these fingers, you got five fingers, and you got fingernails on them, and you got joints on in them too, you know. So there's many members, and every part functions for what God made it to function. Amen. You see? And in 21st verse, say, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. See, they all work together. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Even though you may have a finger that's going out, you may have a foot, a toe, or something going out, a leg or something going out, even though it's feeble, it's still useful. This is what the words say now. They're necessary. Should I read that again? Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You go to church and you see somebody don't look like they're a little slow and everything, and you start talking about it. Well, I can do that. I can do that. I can do it better than they can. Leave them people alone. They're necessary. See? They're necessary to the work of God. They're necessary to the point of this. God may have a person with the gift of healing in the midst, and maybe they can touch them and deliver them and make them whole, so they were necessary for the job to get done and to show forth the glory of God in the midst, too. Do you get the picture? Praise God. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Those we think, hear what the scriptures say, those we think to be less honorable. You know, you always find somebody putting somebody down. Come on now. Come on. Huh? because they think they the big time. They think they the big, big dog up in the place. See, they got it going on. I know the scripture. Well, now let me tell you one thing. Maybe you can quote scripture from Genesis to Revelation, but can you live it?
Ooh, that's the word.
Hmm? Can you live it? Can you come together with somebody else that doesn't remember it like you do? See, I found people to be like that, and I've run into quite a few people like that. Oh, you got to remember every word. You got to do this here. No, God didn't say I had to remember every word. I remember the ones that's necessary that he gave me to use at a time. And when the time come and it's needed, the scripture come because I've studied enough to retain it in there without being a dictionary. See, so that when it's time come, the Holy Ghost, the Bible say, will bring it back to your remembrance. Do you see what I'm saying? So I don't have to quote scripture from Genesis to Revelation. See, as long as I got it in my heart and when it's necessary and God needed to bless somebody else with or to help them come into the knowledge of Christ, then he will bring it to my remembrance and it's, then I'll bring it to you. See what I'm saying? But we got it wrong. So we want to bring people down, and people hate to come to church because people making it so dull, bored. How you supposed to, and talking proper. I don't talk proper. I got broken English. I'm telling you right now, I didn't do good in English.
Come on,
okay?
Come on.
Don't get up and judge me because I don't speak like some eloquent professor of theology. See, I told you I don't speak it so good. Theology. You see?
Thank you.
See, we got the wrong thing holding it up. Want somebody to honor us because we speak eloquently. See? That's not right. You know, you want to put people down. Why are you going to put them down? Don't put them down. Now, listen here. I know there's some ministry churches in the world that teach you to do that. Because when I first got saved, I got saved there in New York City in a little old storefront church. That's what they taught me. And I went around for several years bringing people down. I ain't get nobody saved. I did just what they told me to do, and all I did was hurt people's feelings. See, ain't nobody get saved. Ain't paid me a bit of mind. And I'm going, oh my God, ain't nobody get saved. Ain't nobody hear the word. And I'm just crying and everything till I had to learn that you cannot do that. He said, with love and kindness have I drawn them. Not browbeating them. Taking the Bible and sometimes you're trying to get them saying you're beating them on the head with the Bible too. Somebody knock you out. You know, turn around, hit you, you be mad. I thought you were saved. Well, you ought not to hit me on my head with that Bible. You know, and these things go on. Do you get the picture? You see. But the thing is, coming together, God, all through his scripture, and I'm going to do it today, and I'll do some more tomorrow, about this unity, us dwelling together in unity, because there is no separation. Listen to what he said, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which liked. If you like something, he'll make it up for another with another part of the body. You see what I'm saying? If somebody come in and we don't have everybody in there in the fivefold ministry, God will do what? Then the pastor will do what? Take over. And he'll use the pastor in that place that's light, the gift that's not there. See? Instead of you just trying to puff yourself up. That there should be no schisms in the body. Oh, my God. Did you hear that? And you thought God didn't mind all this separation. Oh, the whites over here, the blacks over there, the Spanish over here. Let me tell you, Sunday's church service we had, I tell you, we had Spanish, we had Italian, we had the Jews in there, and we had just plain old white people. And we had several different islands represented in our Friends and Family Day. Do you hear me? Now that's what's coming together. Do you understand that we're in a neighborhood that's prejudiced? And God put all them people in that neighborhood. Lord, have mercy. Do you hear what I'm saying? And the place was jam-packed. I tell you, God moved in a supernatural way, bringing us together. And I have been, Lord, praying and trying from one city to the other to get people together, to see the vision of God wanting us to do it together, dwell together. He said, brethren, to dwell together in unity. Not separate. See what this scripture says here? That there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Hello, somebody. Hallelujah. So what is the... Let me tell you what the dictionary say unity was. A condition of harmony, accord. The quality or state of being made one. Many members, but one. See, you ain't got that yet, have you? You didn't get to that yet? Unity also implies oneness of what is varied and diverse in its elements apart. We may be diverse, but we are one in Christ because we serve in a Savior that looking for us to dwell together. Huh? Not pulling each other apart, but being together. Why is it hard to get the people to fellowship? Well, my ministry is better than your ministry. I got more people than you, so and then what? Huh? That ain't got nothing to do with the price of tea in China. That ain't got nothing to do with it. God is not concerned about number. How big you are don't matter. If Jesus ain't there, you might as well close the door anyway. Because you won't let him in. See? You're going to have to know how to come together. And we decided that we're going to try and keep working at it. So we had about five churches that came and represented together. And when you look around, you say, wow, there's all kinds up in here. You see? Because all of a sudden, God is trying to bring his people together. He don't care what color you are. He don't care what the name on your doorpost or your church building. Can you love him even though he not built like you? Can you love her even though she don't worship like you? See, we from the loud bunch. But I seen people that was from the quiet bunch kind of got with the program of the loud bunch. God was moving so till they couldn't help but rejoice. Do you know we had a hard time getting the people to go home after service? They didn't want to go home. They just kept sitting and sitting and sitting and sitting. Hallelujah. And we fed them, of course. We had a nice spread. We fed them. But they just stayed because what? They had got the vision and we all became one in Christ because we serving the same God. They found out that it wasn't different. It's the same God. At everybody just do it different because God made us to be different, but yet the same. We are one in Christ Jesus. See? Some may be the hand ministry. Some may be the feet ministry. Some could be the head ministry. Whatever you want to call it. But it all is attached to one body, and that's Jesus Christ. Do you get the picture? He's looking for harmony here. This is why on the day of Pentecost, they was up there that long, They had to get on one accord, stop the bickering. Somebody have to compromise sometime. Somehow they have to give up the right for the wrong sometime. You don't want to hear that, do you? Because I'm always right. Well, I'm not always right, and I ain't going to tell you no lie. Sometime I may be wrong, but that don't mean we have to agree to disagree and be mad, mean, and ugly. See? We got fear, anger, hate running rampant through the world right about now. Now, that's the spirit that has been loosed to this world. Now, what you going to do about that? How you going to overcome that? If you don't find those of like faith and you and them both come together, dwelling together, stop fussing and fighting, arguing, disputing, and everything, I got to be right, and my house is bigger than your house, and all my clothes is better than your clothes, and I got an airplane, and you got a Volkswagen, and so forth. Ride your airplane. I don't want to ride in there with you. Go about your business. But don't mess with me and my Volkswagen. But we can still be friends. You have to do what? He said you must show yourself friendly if you want friends. So you try to be friends with people. But if they don't want to be friends, leave them alone and go on to the next. Praise the Lord. Praise God. How can you force people to be what you are? You want people to be like you, bored. I don't like nothing bored. I know you can hear me talking. You know, I don't like nothing bored. My ministry is not a boring ministry. We are happy people. When I say happy people, we are happy people. You say, yeah, well, boy, they laugh too much. They ain't serious. We serious as a heart attack.
Come on now.
We take this seriously. We go through a lot, but we don't go around and show it on our arms. Say, look at us. We suffering. We don't do that. I tell everybody, I say, when you going through and hell is broke loose against you, you just start to yell it, hallelujah. As loud as you can from the pit of your stomach, let the devil know I am not defeated, will not be defeated.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
It doesn't matter what you think of me. That's your opinion, but yes, God didn't Lord. Say that. I know who I am and whose I am.
Yes.
You got to know beyond a shadow of doubt who you are.
Come on now. Come on.
And I tell anybody, don't let nobody bring you down to their level. They want to be a crab, let them stay a crab.
There you go.
You see what I'm saying? They won't do any of this thing, let them stay there. Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah. I'm going to continue dwelling together in unity. I'm going to continue this on the next broadcast, and we trust that you will be listening. And let me tell you, if you're not with nobody, dwelling with nobody, get with somebody that knows Jesus, so that when you're in need, the two of you can do what? Lean on each other, support each other, encourage each other, lift each other up.
Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for Apostle and that word of unity. You know, it's so true that we definitely need it today. And I was looking at the news this morning, and some people was fighting on the airplane. And I'm saying, what's going on? Because it was fight at the airport the day before. So you try to see what's going on with people today. What's in the air? What's in this air? The spirit that's released in the air. Well, everybody is on edge. Everybody is losing their cool, so to speak. So we got to figure out what's in the air that's causing this. What's going on? Instead of us loving each other, as the Bible tells us to do. See, a lot of people don't want to do that, you know, because they got an excuse. They don't like this about you. They don't like the color of your skin. They don't like what you do. You know, it's always something that somebody say they don't like. You know, forget all that, because we got one God and one heaven and one hell. You serve the one God, you go to heaven. You serve anybody else, you go to hell. Bottom line. But you know we got to come together and we got to have unity, especially in the church world today. It has to be unity. We got to be together. We got to learn to pray for one another. We got to learn to be conscious of one another on what's going on with your people and people close to you. Because you know that if we don't be together and have unity together, What's going to happen? Everybody's going to be going from here to yonder. It's going to be mass confusion. It's going to be a whole lot of things that's going on. So we need to understand that God is, like I always say, God is with us in these for us. He's not against us. So why people think God is against you? God ain't against you. So, you know, something happened. People always want to blame God. It ain't God that doing these things to you. A lot of these things you do to yourself. We bring a lot of things on ourselves. You can't blame God for what you do, because you made the decisions. You did that. You made the decisions not to like these other people. You made the decision. Now these same people might be the one that come save your life. You see, so how are you going to be against somebody you don't like nobody? And all of a sudden, they your house on fire. They come across the street and break out the doors and windows to get you and pull you out. But you don't like them. So what's going on here? That's because people don't have no love for one another. That's all it is. I remember back in the days that when we used to have block parties up in New York. Used to have block parties. Everybody knowed everybody on the block. They closed the street off, opened the fire hydrant, and it was on. Mm-hmm. You know, we ain't had no problems. You know, that little area was together. You know, and then when we was young, everybody's parents used to beat everybody's children. See, that's the way it was. But that's the way it was back in the day. It was what you might say, that was unity. That was love for each other and each other's property and each other's children. To help raise the children. You know what they say, it take a village to raise a child? But that is true. Everybody helped each other. You know, everybody helped each other. And that's what it's about. That's what unity is about. That's what love is about. That's about helping your fellow man, helping your fellow neighbor. See, but people stay away and they stand offish now. And the thing about it is, I mean, I know the world is evil. The world is in chaos. But we got to learn to stay together. We got to learn to pull ourselves up out of the mucky muck. Oh, here's Sister Diane.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Now, you can't tell me that word didn't touch you in some way, shape, form, or fashion. That was an awesome word from Apostle Porter and also Deacon Michael. Today, can you dwell in unity? You tune every Wednesday and Thursday to Blog Talk Radio. That calling number is 347-857-3925. That's 347-857-3925. That's every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. So you know what? Write it on a piece of paper. Text it to someone and tell them you need prayer or you need to hear awesome word. Give them the phone number and tell them to call in during these times. Or if they have a computer, they can also listen to it on their cell phone. They can go to blogtalkradio.com/timetotalkaboutit and listen to each and every segment that Apostle Porter has put out there. Now, mine, she's been out there from since 2009. So you know what? There's a lot of word out there that can do justice for you. So tune in tomorrow to hear the rest about dwelling in unity. And today, if you see someone looking sad, be that light in their darkness today and let them know that Jesus loved them. Till then, be blessed.
Let God, my sister, you can't handle it. Let God.